Without further delay, I will go ahead and invite our guest speaker from tonight, who is from the island of Trinidad and Tobago. We're going to go ahead and invite him. The topic for tonight is analyzing the concept of fi sabilillah from the life of Lady Khadija. Join me in welcoming our speaker, Sheikh Muhammad Hussain, with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There's a request for the brothers at the back, if you can just come a bit forward, please. Salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Affirmate.
Well, there's another announcement. That is, if we could please have the children quiet down a little bit so that we can all be able to benefit from the speech. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
I was too scared to give that announcement. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم رجس أهل البيت وطهرهم تطهيرا صلوات اللهم صل على محمد. أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Before we begin into the actual lecture, I would like to first of all offer my congratulations to each and every one of you, dear brothers and sisters, on arriving to this point in this holy month of Ramadan. Today being the ninth day, and tomorrow we enter into the 10th day of the holy month. It's amazing how fast this holy month goes by, where when we look at it, one third of this holy month has already gone like this in the blink of an eye. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our a'mal and our ibadat that we have done so far. And we ask him for the remaining of the month to accept whatever little we put forward. Secondly, I would like to offer my dearest condolences to our 12th Imam, the Savior, on the death anniversary of his grandmother, Lady Khadija Salamu Alayha, and my condolences to you, dear brothers and sisters. And thirdly, I would like to thank the management and the organizers of this wonderful program, who saw it fit to invite Bande to come up here and speak to you on this blessed night. Now, the concept of giving, or what we call infaq, it's a worldwide trait that is loved and is recognized no matter where you go. The concept of giving, the concept of generosity, you can be a Muslim, you can be a non-Muslim, you can be an atheist. This is a trait that everyone loves. When we see someone who gives, we say that that person has proper akhlaq, we say that person is well-mannered. Indeed, in the religion of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the concepts of infaq so many times in the Holy Quran. For instance, you can do infaq, but it can be a small quantity. For instance, I may have some tumans, I may give it to someone, I may have a pair of shoes that I no longer want, and I may give it away to an orphanage, some clothing. We have all done this, but What type of reward do we get by doing this type of infaq? Okay, because there are levels to this, right? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom and His generosity, will definitely reward us, no matter how small of an amount of things that we give. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also advises us in the Holy Quran that if we want the greatest reward for giving, what we have to give from. He says in Surah Ali Imran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. He said that you would not achieve birr, or the greatest reward, unless you give from مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, which is what you love. Now giving, as I said before, it's an easy thing, but giving from what you love, giving from your wealth, is a difficult thing, especially in the eyes of Islam. Now going back to the verse that I recited at the beginning, from Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He uses a masal, He uses a parable when it comes to those who give, and He compares it to something else. Now let's go through that verse again. It says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِكُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comparing those who give their wealth فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to a habba, which is a seed. Now this is not an ordinary seed. This seed has something. It has sab'a sanabil, meaning what? It has seven spikes or seven ears coming out of that seed, growing from that seed. And in each spike, it has mi'atu habba, meaning what? It has 100 more seeds. So the parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting us with here is that when we do infaq, or we give our wealth in His way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies our wealth 100 times over. But this, as I said, is a parable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited to just multiplying our wealth 100 times or 700 times over. No. The ayat continues where He says, وَاللَّهُ يُضَعِفُ لِمَا يَشَاءُ, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give 1,000 times more, 1,000,000 times more. But the lesson that we learn from this is that when we give our amwal or our wealth, fi sabilillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it for us, whether it's in this world or in the next. Now tonight, the personality that we would like to discuss is none other than that great personality, Lady Khadija Salamul Alayha. This personality, she gave so much of her wealth for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it's something that it basically can't be measured, how much she gave. Now, Lady Khadija, being the first wife of the Holy Prophet, also known as Ummul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. Now, just to give a quick history of Lady Khadija, she was a merchant, a trader, someone who engaged in business activities. And she accumulated a lot of wealth by trading. And this was a tradition that was passed down from her father to her, a successful business, and she would accumulate a lot of money doing this. Now, during her trading events, she would hear of a young man by the name of Muhammad. Okay? She would hear of a young man by the name of Muhammad that had certain qualities. This Muhammad had qualities such as he was as-sadiq, the truthful one. He was al-amin, the trustworthy one. And this Khadija, she would inquire about this young man. She would want to know, who is this young man? Because at the time, she would not want to do all the back and forth traveling. She would want someone to work for her. And as we know, when it comes to business, you have to find someone who is sadiq, truthful, or trustworthy. So she inquired about this Muhammad, and she decided to have him come and work for her and eventually get married to him. Now, the details of their marriage, till this day, there are a lot of conflicting opinions between the scholars and the historians of the Shia school of thought and the Sunni school of thought. Some of them say that Lady Khadija was in her 40s when she married the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Some of them say, no, she was in her 20s. Some of them say that Lady Khadija had children. Some of them say, no, she did not have children. Some of them say even that she was married. Some of them say that she was not married. However, we're not here to discuss the details of her life in particular, but we're here to discuss what she did for the mission of Islam by giving everything that she had, fi sabilillah. Now, as we mentioned before, Lady Khadija was a really wealthy and well-off woman because of the business that she indulged in. And when she met this Muhammad, this boy, she realized that there was something special in him, even before the event of the Bi'sat, because she met him before he became a prophet. But she saw something special in him, and she swore to provide for him and take care of him so that he would not have to go out and work and make a living. Now, she decided to stop her trading and use the money that she accumulated to support him and give him whatever he needed. But she did not only give financial support to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, she also gave emotional support, she gave moral support, and even psychological support. And this is a point that I would like our sisters to listen to carefully. That when our sons, our fathers, our brothers go out to the workplace, go out to the battlefield, and they return home, they don't want to return home to a place that causes them more difficulties. And Lady Khadija, peace be upon her, she provided a place of comfort for the Holy Prophet when he returned home from his tabligh work and his spreading of the message. Now, you can imagine someone who gets revelations from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going out to the Jahil Arab community and preaching to them monotheism, preaching to them oneness of God. And you have some of them rejecting this idea. You have some of them spitting on the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. You have some of them even stoning the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, throwing garbage on him. But yet, when he returned home to his beloved wife, she made him feel like nothing of this sort ever took place. This was the power that Lady Khadija, peace be upon her, had, not only giving her wealth, but also giving her support emotionally to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Now, Lady Khadija, if we look at the history books, she is considered as one of the four greatest women, one of the four greatest women in the history of Islam. The first being Lady Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, the second being Lady Maryam, and we have baby Fatima, who was the daughter of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and none other than Lady Khadija, peace be upon her. But we are speaking about fi sabilillah and giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the love that was created between Hazrat Khadija, salamu alayha, and the Holy Prophet, it's a kind of love that it was so inseparable. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks in the Holy Quran, he says, Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun. Your wives, they are libas for you. They are covering for you, and you are covering for them. And this is exactly what Lady Khadija, peace be upon her, was. She was a covering for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Peace be upon him. That even after her death, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would speak highly of Lady Khadija. 3 years passed after the demise of the great lady, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in his household, he would constantly mention Khadija, Khadija, Khadija. When an animal was killed, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would take some of that meat and send it to the friends of Khadija. When one of the friends passed by, the Holy Prophet would stand up out of respect for Lady Khadija. So much so that one day, the third wife of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, her name is Aisha, she came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and she said, O Messenger of God, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with a young, beautiful wife. Why do you speak of this old lady who has died so many years ago? You know, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he would get upset, but he would not reply to Aisha. But one day she came to him and she said something, and this is narrated in the book of Sahih Bukhari. This is an authentic hadith in the school of thought of Ahl Sunnah, where Aisha says, she says, Ma girtu ala nisa in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, I have not been jealous of any of the wives of the Holy Prophet, illa ala Khadija, except Khadija. And at that moment, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he could not bear it anymore. He could not bear this torment from this wife of his called Aisha. That the Prophet, peace be upon him, he looked at Aisha and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given me a wife like Khadija. Because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, married several wives after the death of Khadijah. He was married to her for 25 years, but after the death of Khadijah, he married about 9 wives. But he looked at her and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given me a wife like Khadijah. She stood up for me when others rejected me. She accepted the mission of Islam. She accepted Tawheed. She was the first woman to say La ilaha illallah along with Ali alayhi salam. And she gave me everything in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that none of you could give me. And the Holy Prophet, he said one last thing to Aisha. He said, she gave me something that none of you have given me and none of you will ever give me. And what is that? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, she gave me Fatima. Fatima was the apple of the Prophet's eyes. And Khadija gave him Fatima. And no one else, none of the other wives, could have given him any children or any child like Fatima. Lady Khadija, she gave so much in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi sabilillah. But as the Rahbar correctly pointed out, everything was not all and well in the life of Hazrat Khadija salamu alayhi and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. There was a period in their life where the Muslims, they came under sanctions. There was a period in the valley of Abu Talib, the Shib of Abu Talib, where the Muslims were placed in exile, where they were cut off basically from the outside world, where they were not able to gain money, they were not able to gain food. And this was a really difficult time for this lady, because you can imagine a wealthy lady who grew up all her life with expensive things in a fancy house, now having to basically shift her entire life just to support the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and give everything in a way and lower her standards of living. This is not an easy thing for anyone to do. But Hazrat Khadija, salamu alayha, she did it. She sacrificed all of her wealth because she knew that it was just temporary. Now, living in the valley of Abu Talib, we can draw a lot of conclusions from that time to this time. How? The same way that the Muslims were cut off from the outside world and they were under sanctions, this country today is also under sanctions. The same way that our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was spreading the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this man, this great leader to my right, he also spread the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, the same way that Lady Khadija gave everything she had in terms of wealth to support the mission of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, this man to my left is also carrying on the mission that this man started. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Our leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, every month, by his order, millions of dollars is taken from Baitul Mal to give to you and I, students, in the form of the Shahriya, for us to spread the message of the pure Muhammadan religion. Every month, by the order of Sayyid Ali Khamenei, millions of dollars, not tumans, dollars, are taken from the Baitul Mal and spent on security, spent on military, spent in Syria, Iraq, Hezbollah, Lebanon, Yemen, so that you and I can sit in the holy city of Qum at 10, 11 o'clock in the night and be at ease, be at comfort, so that you and I could walk the streets of Qum with our wives, with our daughters, with our sisters at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning in safety and comfort, all because of the efforts, similarly to the efforts of Hazrat Khadija, the efforts of our dear leader. Now, as we said, that period in the valley of Abu Talib was a really difficult period for the Muslims and for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And our dear Lady Khadija, salamu alayha, because at this time she would have been in her 50s or her 60s. And at this time, that That type of life would have taken a toll on her body. It's also narrated that she gave so much in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at times she would have to eat the leaves from the trees in the valley of Abu Talib. It's narrated that Lady Khadija, who was once the wealthiest woman in the Arab Peninsula, didn't even have a piece of bread to eat. This was how much she sacrificed. And in that final year in the valley of Abu Talib, it was just too much for her to bear. She could not endure it anymore. She could not endure the pain. An illness eventually took over her blessed body, and Hazrat Khadija left this temporary world. You know, brothers and sisters, the women of Ahlul Bayt, they really went through a lot of turmoil and struggle in the path of Islam. But there's one woman who was also in that valley of Abu Talib. And that woman, or young girl at the time, because she was only 5 or 6 years old, she had to witness this difficulty. She had to witness her mother enduring this sickness and leaving this world. The same mother who trained her, who developed her, who gave her all the noble characteristics that she had, and that's none other than Fatimatu Zahra salamu alayha. What did Fatimatu Zahra witness in the valley of Abu Talib? Seeing her mother in this way, seeing her father having to bury her holy mother in the ground without a shroud, without a kafan. It's also narrated that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he used his abba as a kafan to bury the holy Lady Khadija because she didn't even have a kafan to be buried. So we ask you tonight, dear Fatima, how did you endure seeing your blessed mother Khadija being buried in the valley of Abu Talib? We ask you, oh Fatima, how did you feel knowing what your father went through? How did you feel knowing what Allah, what Ali alayhi salam went through? We ask you, oh Fatima, how did you endure so many pains and difficulties? But there's another lady that I would like to speak about, because tonight is dedicated to the woman of the Ahlul Bayt. There was another young lady at the time, the daughter of Fatima, and her name was Zainab. I don't know, Fatimatu Zahra salamu alayha said that if the day was to witness the turmoil that she went through, the day would turn into night. But we have another lady called Lady Zainab who witnessed so many things, and yet she said, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. It's really, you know, mind-boggling for me to try to explain on this minbar what Lady Zainab went through. We ask you tonight, oh Lady Zainab, how did you endure seeing your mother Fatima? How did you endure seeing your mother Fatima's hair turn from black to gray overnight? We ask you, oh Zainab, how did you feel when you saw your father, Ali alayhi salam, burying your mother daughter, your mother Fatima, and the look on his face when he felt the broken rib of Lady Fatima Zahra salamu alayha? We ask you tonight, O Zainab, how did you feel when you saw your father Ali come home with blood gushing from his brain because of the stroke that he endured while he was praying? We ask you, O Zainab, how did you feel when you saw your brother Hassan vomit his liver out on the table in front of you? O Zainab, we have one last question for you, O Zainab. And dear brothers and sisters, you all know what this question is about. Dear brothers and sisters, you all know where this question is going. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to return to the blessed lands of Karbala this year. It has been 2-3 years that we haven't made the ziyarat of Arba'een. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to return to Karbala this year. We ask you, O Zainab, how did you feel when you were taken to Sham and the woman had their hijab stripped off of their heads. O Zainab, how did you feel when you saw Sakina and the earrings were ripped from her holy ears? O Zainab, how did you feel when you returned to Karbala? O Zainab, and you saw your brother Hussein lying on the plains of Karbala? O Zainab, how did you feel when you saw your nephew Ali alayhi salam picking up the pieces of the body of Hussein from the plains of Karbala? O Zainab, how did you feel knowing that Imam Hussein alayhi salam didn't have a kafan to be buried with in the plains of Karbala? O Zainab, how did you feel seeing your brother lying on the plains of Karbala without a head attached to his body? Alanatullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ وَالْآقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّكِينَ. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله. وعلى أرواح التي هلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بكيت وبكي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله الآخر الأهد مني لزيارتكم. Everyone together. السلام على الحسن وعلى علي ابن وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. With these tears in our eyes, dear brothers and sisters, let us raise our hands in dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the haqq of Lady Khadija salamullah alayha to raise us on Yawmul Qiyamah with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the haqq of Fatima Zahra salamu alayha to hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Ya Rabbul Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the grace of our 12th Imam to get rid of these blood-sucking parasites, regimes such as the regime of America, the regimes of the Zionists, the regime of the puppet government that is Ahl Saud. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad to free our brothers in Yemen, in Syria, in Libya, in Iraq, Pakistan, and in Nigeria. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give tawfiq to the organizers of this blessed program, all of the volunteers, all of the sponsors, those who donated food items and money, fi sabilillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give patience to those who are downstairs preparing the iftar every day, and those women who are seeing about the children in the art and craft section of the hall. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them the best reward in this life and in the next. Wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.